Thank you. Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. I think I can say that because Thanksgiving's over and I won't get dirty looks from people, but I am excited. I love Christmas time. As Matt was saying, I'm a Christmas geek, and I will tell you why I am. It's because when I was a kid, I grew up in the church. How many of you grew up going to church? Okay, I was one of those kids that was laying kind of sideways on the pew. Sometimes my feet were in the air, or sometimes I was not paying attention. And I would come to church, especially at Christmas time, and I would watch them light the Advent candles as kind of like a countdown, right? Thinking in my own head, man, I only have 4 more candles to go of this guy talking until Christmas, right? I mean, that was my idea, right, as a kid. And I had this dad who I don't know if you had one, who had this iron claw of correction that would often come over my shoulder like this and just give me a little squeeze. And automatically, I knew I had to sit up straight and pay attention. But as a kid, I would just be so like anticipating Christmas. I couldn't wait for that final candle to be lit in the Advent wreath, that we would sit back and enjoy that Christmas. But I will tell you this, that for many years, so much of it just went right over my head. And I would sit and I would hear the pastor talk about the shepherds and about the prophets and about Mary and Joseph and Bethlehem and the trek to the city. And so much of it would just be missed by me. Until one Christmas, I was sitting in church and I was listening to one of the hymns that was being sung, a hymn I had heard 1,000 times before, "O Holy Night." As I sat there and listened to the words, "Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared," and the soul felt its worth. And all of a sudden, it was almost like years of hearing and years of hearing it with my ears all of a sudden became sight, and I saw the big picture, the big rescue story of humanity, that God has come to earth to win back his lost love. And I was undone. I sat there that day just in tears listening to this song as the story of my redemption unfolded. I just fell in love with Jesus all over again that day. And that is our hope during this Advent season, is that once again, as we retell this story to ourselves once again, that we see it anew and afresh, the depths of God's love for us, the depths that he has gone to, the extent that he has gone to redeem and restore and win back his lost love, that we lose ourselves in it again. And that is my hope for us as we enter in. One way that we can do that as a family or a tribe or a small group or a group of friends that you have, as we talked about last week, is our Advent guide, which we have available for you downstairs. As you go today, you can get some more information from Daniel later about how to get this. But this is a tool. It's just a tool that we use to kind of set up those intentional times of remembrance. We talked last week how the Israelites walked across the Jordan on dry ground, and how Joshua had them gather up these stones of memorial so that their children would understand and know and one day look back and ask, "What are these stones about?" And Joshua said, "We want to have these as a memorial so that we are teaching our kids. This is discipleship in action, that they know what's going on." And we want to create intentional times and tools of intentional times to do that. And so what we do as my family is we gather together on Sunday nights during the Advent season, and we sit down with this, and we go through this Advent guide together. We read it together. We light the candles together as we are reminding ourselves and retelling the story once again of what Christ has done. And we're taking intentional time. It's fun for us. We shut off the lights. We bake cookies. We have hot chocolate and candy canes, and we sit down and we, in the darkness, remember what it's like, this anticipation of the hope that's coming. And we light the candles together. We talk about, like we're going to hear in a minute, the prophet's candle. The prophet's candle, the first one we light in Advent, that reminds us that this story of salvation was not God's plan B. This was his plan all along. And he told us what he was going to do beforehand through the prophets. And he told us of this one who was going to come, this hero who would rescue, redeem, and restore. And we remember his plan and remember what he did for us in sending Christ. And so this is what we will do here this morning as we light this first candle of Advent. It's the prophet's candle. And the prophet's candle helps us to remember, helps us to think on and dwell on that the coming of Christ was foretold hundreds, thousands of years before Christ came. This was no accident. This was not something that just God decided last minute. This was planned before the foundations of the world. And in many old places in the Old Testament, we read about this promised Savior, a prophet, priest, and king, an anointed leader, a hero who would come, who would conquer sin and bring hope in darkness. And for hundreds of years, as people looked for that day when this deliverer would come. For Adam and Eve, this deliverer was a conqueror who would crush the serpent's head. For Abraham, he was the descendant that would bless every nation. For King David, he was the descendant who would establish his throne for eternity, a king. For Ezekiel, he was the true shepherd who would care for his people. For Isaiah, he was the virgin-born child that would become Emmanuel, God with us. The prophets foretold of this one who would come. Through all these promises foretold, we get the picture that God had a plan to reconcile us to him. Even though we had sinned, even though we had gone astray, even though we ran from him. And we gathered together in this Advent season with a specific purpose, that we lose ourselves in the wonder and the story of it all. Retelling to ourselves, to our children, the story once again, to awaken in our hearts anew to the wonders of the incarnation, that God would come to be with us, to bring us to him. It's a beautiful thing. We remember, as Bonhoeffer puts it in his book, God in the Manger, that the God of this world draws near to the people of our little earth, and he lays claim to us. You're mine. This first week of Advent, we focus on hope. As we begin our celebration of this Advent season, it's important for us to remember that the story of the Christmas does not begin in the manger, but begins in the garden. You see, hope rises out of despair. And without us really understanding and grasping what is at stake, without us really understanding and grasping where we are coming from, hope doesn't really matter all that much to us. What happened to all humanity in the garden, what took place in that moment, in that time, without understanding that, it's impossible for us to appreciate the depth of hope that this season brings to us. Turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 1. If you don't have a copy of the scriptures, you can grab one. They're in your seats in front of you. If you don't have one in front, you can raise your hand and someone will grab one for you and bring it to you. And if you don't have a copy of the scriptures, you can keep this. We take it right out of Daniel's salary, so it's no problem whatsoever. In Genesis 1, the Bible, God's revelation about himself, God is telling humanity who he is. He's uncovering and unveiling his purpose and plan and who he is and what he cares about, his will, his character. And in this first chapter of the Bible, Revelation 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth began as a dark, lifeless rock. And the Bible tells us after he created the heavens and the earth, God created light. He literally speaks it into existence. Before there was darkness, and he speaks light into existence. And this was not the light that was found in its source in the sun, because the sun had not yet been created. This light, as scholars will say, is a light that emanated from the very presence of God. God himself was light. The psalmist says in Psalms 104 that he clothes himself in light. And throughout the scriptures, God identifies himself as light, or he identifies himself with light. In 1 John 1:5, it says, this is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. In him there is nothing hidden. It is as things really are, because he is light. He's truth. When my kids were small, they were sometimes afraid of the dark. It wasn't so much the dark, but what they couldn't see in the dark. And so oftentimes we would go in and we would sit down and I would have to literally stand there by the light switch, and I would turn on the light and everything was fine, but you turn off the light and everything looks strange and unknown. And the things that are just normal in reality become monsters in their minds, right? And so I would turn on this light so they could see the world as it really is. How many of you have in the night thought you saw something and thought you were afraid of something, but in the daytime it just wouldn't be a big deal because the light is there? So the light shows us what really is. This is the light of God, the reality of the earth, of the world as it is. Things as they really are. James 1:17 says that God is the Father of lights. Light is representative of God's presence, truth, the way things really are. In the end of history, the light that comes from the very presence of God will fill every space. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 5, it says God will literally take the place of the sun and be the manifest light over those who rule and reign. And after God creates the light, after he fills the earth with creatures, he calls it good. And the crowning achievement of his creative acts and the crowning achievement of his work as he gets down in the dust and the dirt and he forms out of the clay man, he breathes into him life. And this man is the very image of God. He's a reflector of this light, of this God of light who is truth. Adam and Eve are given a task in Genesis 1:28 that they are to spread this image of God, this light of God, the reflection of his light, his rule and his reign across the planet. They are given this task to fill the earth with worshipers of God who reflect his light, the truth of who he is, to reign and rule across the globe as representative rulers of the one whose image they bear. And as image bearers, they were walking representations of what God was like. They were the truth about God on earth. Somewhere between chapters 2 and 3 in Genesis, there was a rebellion in heaven. Lucifer, one of God's top angels, rebelled against him, desiring to raise his throne above the throne of God, and God cast him down and all those angels who followed him to the earth. Satan hated God, and therefore he hated the ones who bore his image, and so he set out to destroy them as well. The Bible tells us that Lucifer was filled with pride. He had to gain legal control over the earth and those who bear the image of God, God's representative rule, so Satan tells a lie about God. He quotes the first darkness, and Adam and Eve believe Satan. They take the fruit that God had forbidden them to eat, and they eat it. And so Adam and Eve join Satan in his rebellion against God. And instead of being the light bearers of God's kingdom, instead of exposing falsehood with truth, instead of shining light in the darkness, they joined the lie. They joined the forces of the kingdom of darkness, the antithesis of all that God stood for. So from this moment on in the scriptures, light is symbolic of the kingdom of God, and darkness represents this rebellion and wickedness in the kingdom of darkness. The Bible tells us in Psalms 107 that this whole experience that we're in is the shadow of death. Satan, because Adam and Eve yielded their members unto him and became servants of him, they became literally slaves to him, and everything that God had given them to rule and reign over now became illegitimately under Satan's rule and domain. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." The Bible tells us that it's very clear that there is a spiritual war being waged, even now. And we'll get into more of this next week when we talk about peace. That Satan has become the illegitimate ruler of the kingdom of darkness. And all of mankind is thrown into the dark. We have all become prisoners. Luke chapter 1, verse 19, when this scripture, it talks about the coming of the light into the darkness, says that we are those who sit in darkness. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says this, by one man sin into the world, and death through sin. So death spread to all men because all have sinned. This is the reality. Because of what Adam did, all those who came after him, all those who are born of his line are born in darkness, are born enslaved, are born in sin. This is where we are. Those who are supposed to bear the light now serve darkness. The people created to reflect the light of God and the truth went dark, and the earth was filled with hopelessness and darkness reigned. The Bible says this is known in the scriptures as the reign of death. What does this have to do with Advent, right? It's out of the darkness that hope is truly seen as hope, because hope is coming. In the midst of this terrible day when Adam and Eve rebelled against God and took the fruit that they weren't supposed to take and obeyed Satan instead of obeying God, God could have at that moment just wiped them out. He could have justly and rightly just taken them off the planet. But instead, in Genesis 3:15, we see the first ray of hope. The promise that darkness will not reign forever. That hope is coming, that the world will not wallow in darkness indefinitely, that God will send the seed of a woman, not man, not of Adam's line, not of Adam's broken line, the seed of a woman who will vanquish the serpent and will once again allow God's light to rule over darkness. Once again, God's people will be the representatives of what is truth and real reflections of light as they were meant to be, as God created them to be, as image bearers of himself. This is what theologians call the first gospel, the proto-evangelion, the first good news, Genesis 3:15. As God is condemning Lucifer, condemning Satan for what he has done, and tells him that one will come who will crush his head. The rest of the Bible, from Genesis 3:15 on, is the story of this one who God promised. The first prophecy we see of the coming hero who will undo what has been broken and undo what mankind has done. He will restore what has been lost. He will heal what is broken and shed light on what has been made dark. Jesus is that hero, the prophets foretold. He is the bringer of hope. And we read about him all through the scriptures, and there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of prophecies about this one, that he would be a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, a prince of peace, that he would come and restore what is broken and bring life to where there was death. He was one in whom there was no sin to be found. He is one in whom would heal with his own body, by his own stripes. He'd be pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. Isaiah 9:2, we read that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelled in the land of deep darkness, to them a light has shone. And God has made a promise to mankind that we will not suffer under the shadow of the fall forever, that he will come and he will bring for us a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, Prince of Peace, one born of a virgin who would save his people from their sin. I was watching a History Channel show because I'm a history buff. I love learning about history and what was happening in the world at different times. And it was a history of World War II. And it was this episode where it was kind of going through these people in Europe who were under the boot of their oppressor. Nazis had taken over almost the entirety of Europe, and here are these people who are just waiting and longing and hoping for rescue. And so every day they would try to listen to radio if they had them, if they would try to find out information about, you know, are the Allies coming? Is rescue coming? Is hope coming to us? For years and years and years, as they waited and longed for their nightmare to be over, wondering and hearing every rumor that came down, is this going to be today? Is it going to be today? Are they close? And soon they would hear the sounds of battle draw nearer, which seems like it would be a bad thing, but to them it wasn't. To them it meant their redemption was coming, longing for that day. And then I was sitting there listening to this, hearing this story of these people, wondering, thinking to myself, this is what it's like for us. Those of us who are waiting and longing, who have been sitting in this world of darkness, this world of brokenness, longing for light to shine, longing for hope to come. I thought of this song, O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world and sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt his worth. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Do you feel the weight of that song? Do you feel the earth weighted down by darkness, mankind in the shadow of death, this never-ceasing night that does nothing but remind us of our impending punishment and sin? The depths of this darkness and the depths of this waiting, a thrill of hope, and the weary world rejoices. After all this time of darkness, hope is here. A glimmer of light. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians 4:4 that when the fullness of time had come, when God's perfect timing was established, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent his Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, so we are no longer slaves, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. The hope of Advent, the hope of Christ's coming, is that those of us who were born enslaved can now be free. Jesus is God's answer to the promise. He is the hero who can put an end to our oppression, who can free us from our slavery to sin. God sent his light into the world to shatter the shackles of darkness, to break our chains. Jesus was the one who was promised in Genesis 3:15. He was the one who was promised way back then. He was the one that all the prophets that we read about, with all their prophecies concerning him, he was the one who fulfills them all. Jesus bore the testimony about himself in John 18:12. He says again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is the promise that all scripture leads us to. This is the culmination of every ounce of history in the world is leading up to this moment, where God breaks through, skies light up with angels' voices. He's here. He's come. Restoration is near. Your rescue is at hand. Scriptures tell us that not all will follow him. You know, Christmas is not a happy time for all. You know, as I look and I talk with people about Christmas time, some are like me, they love it. Others, it's just full of painful memories. It's full of hopelessness rather than hope. It's full of heartache rather than joy. It's full of war rather than peace. And we know as we dive into the scriptures that some men, it says, actually love darkness rather than light. And they desire darkness more than they desire light. The light is painful for them. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 4 through 6, it says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In this season of joy, the most profoundly sad reality is that for some, the light is not a joy, but a terror. And they shield their eyes and they cover their ears because they don't want to see it, they don't want to hear it, and they would rather stay in darkness. So they hate Christmas. not the trees and the presents, but they hate Christ, just as he said they would, that he'll be reviled. And as I meet people in this world who kind of put their hands up, we talk about the hope that we have in Christ for Christmas. I'm reminded, friends, that it is for these people we are here. They are not our enemy, they are our mission. As Christ died for the sins of the world to accomplish the payment of death that we all owed, he rose from the death, conquering the shadow of death that hangs over every man. He points to his disciples and he says to them, as the Father sends me, so send I you. Our job as people who follow Christ is to do what Christ did, is to go into the place where people are to spread the light in the darkness. That we are ones who speak of the hope, not because Christmas is exciting and fun and full of presents, because it is Jesus. It's about his coming. It's about the breaking of chains and slavery of sin. It's about light coming into darkness. As the Father sends me, so send I you. On the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, where Christ charged his kingdom people to be salt and light, he says, you are the light of the world. We who all once hated the light, we who were born shackled in sin, who were running from God as hard as and as fast and as far as we could, we, he says, those who have trusted in him have become the light of the world. And now we are to be the ones who take this light to the ends of the earth, pushing back the darkness wherever we see it, holding out the hope that we have in Christ. This Advent season reminds us that we were all once in darkness. That's where we all started, because we're sons of our father Adam, enslaved to sin. We are all there. One of the joys of this Christmas season is to know what Christ has done to rescue us and redeem us and restore us and make us into people who now can take his light to the ends of the earth. It's come full circle. Where Adam and Eve failed to carry the light and the rule of God to the planet, the second Adam, Christ, now enables God's reign and rule and light through the hearts of those who believe and receive him, receive his salvation. As we share this hope that is within us, the light and the reign and the rule of God spreads like fire throughout all of humanity, as it has for thousands of years. And for thousands of years, Christians gather in moments like this in Advent season, reminding themselves of this hope and reminding themselves of this light and taking it to the ends of the earth. We who have been freed from darkness, we who walk in light now as he is in light, are now the ones who represent Christ here on earth, spreading his word to the ends of the earth, to all who would hear and all who would see. The birth of God in flesh, the incarnation, the birth of God in Bethlehem was God's opening salvo on his war on sin and death in the grave. Friends, the battle will rage until Christ returns, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Through Jesus, God turns the lights back on in the darkness that cast its shadow over us. And until Christ returns, we are to be his lights in the world, once again reflecting his image, reflecting his lights in the darkness, bringing hope to the hopeless, bringing hope to those who look at this Christmas season and see nothing good about it. We can remind them of the hope that we have, not in anything on this earth, but in Christ who came to it. I want to close this morning as I read from John chapter 1. I'd like you to do this. I'd like you just to close your eyes. I'd like you just to listen to what the Word of God has to say to us this morning, as it reveals to us about this one, this hero who has come, this light of life who shines light in the darkness. John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things are made through him. And without him, not anything was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, is coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Father God, we enter into this Advent season, reminding ourselves once again of the hope we have through Jesus, that he was the one who was prophesied. He was the hero that the scriptures tell us about, who would come, who would restore what is broken and bring mankind back to God. Father, I pray this morning that we would feel the weight of that deeply today. That throughout this week, as we remind ourselves of the truth of the gospel, of the truth of this incarnation, of the hope that we have in it, let us be a people who spread that hope everywhere we go. Let us be lights into our world. Let us take this light that you have brought into the world and bring it to the dark places in our planet. Let us be people who represent you well, people who think deeply on the realities that the light exposes, people who run from darkness and shed light in the dark places of this earth. Give us courage, I pray, in that. Help us as we remember and long for and wait for your coming. Help us to experience anew and afresh. Awaken our hearts, we pray. In your name.